Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Okay, because it's just something about men, we just want to fix stuff. We don't like talking about problems when we know the solution. Men, am I telling the truth? We like, why are we dwelling on the problem? I already know you the solution. Why do we have to talk about the problem anymore? I have the solution. Why do I have to dwell on 2 plus 2 when I'm telling you it's 4? But a wife will want to say, let's just deal with 2 plus 2 from different angles. Let's look at the angle that it's actually 1 and 1 and a 1 and a 1. And that's coming to 4. And it's 2 pairs of 2s. And can we understand that those 2 got together over here and that 2 got together over here and it formed 4. But 1 came this way and then 1 came that way and then 1 came that way and then 1 came that way and that got to 4. And we're like, me, we're like, no, it's 4. It's just 4. Ever how we got there, it's 4. So we have to be willing to sit down and listen to all the ways that you can come up with 4. Amen. So just listen. Just smile and listen. Women on average like to speak 25,000 words a day. Men on average speak 10,000 words a day. That means we've got to be willing to let them catch up if they didn't get all their words out during the day. Amen. Now, provision. God holds men responsible for providing for their own home. 1 Timothy 5:8. I say that and say this. I recognize the economy. I recognize what's going on in this city and many cities across the nation. And I know there's some men that have been laid off and that have issues finding a job or looking for a job. And I know in many cases there's a wife that had a job and she now becomes support into that home. And I would never try to condemn or hurt any man that's doing his best to get his head up and to get to that next level or just to get back in a place of employment. But just know that at the end of the day, men, we are the responsible ones for our homes. And I know that for some men that particularly that have just been laid off or unemployed, that can be hard because you feel the anxiety of I'm not carrying my weight. I'm not bringing anything to the table. But if you honor God, I believe he'll honor you. And I'm just going to declare right now in the name of Jesus over any man here looking for a job or those watching looking for a job that God's favor compasses you like a shield, that you have favor with God and man, that he opens door that no man can close, and whom the Lord hath blessed, no man can curse. And I'm speaking blessing over to you right now in the name of Jesus. But you can't set back without a job and take advantage of the young and the restless. Or ESPN. Hopefully it's the latter. But don't even do that. I was counseling a couple one time years ago, and this man had been laid off, hadn't had a job in like over 2 years. And in her mind, he's not even trying to get a job. That he's just quit and he's just living free every day. And it became a problem because that introduced a lot of other things. Because while she was working, he wasn't, he got into other stuff. And so in counsel, he looked at me in my face and said this. He said, well, I'm not gonna take a job for less than $16 an hour. So I looked back at him and I said, then get you 2 jobs making $8 an hour. But you need to be doing something. He got mad, left the church, and I don't know whatever came of it. But it was just the truth. If you'll honor God, he'll honor you. But your wife needs to know that she's secure in this relationship, including financially. Now, wives, don't go home today and say, see there, told you, quitting my job tomorrow. No. Because y'all talked about that before you bought that other car. And you talked about that before you got in that debt. So don't agree to a budget that requires 2 incomes and then say, okay, Mr. Husband, take care of all this when you would have never got into that had you based that budget on 1 income. So set a vision for where you want to go in your marriage. Set a vision. If you're not there yet, set a vision. Say, hey, we want to get to the place where even if she does work, our budget does not require 2 incomes. But you can't put that man into cardiac arrest talking about I'm quitting my job when y'all both entered into a lot of financial obligations that you're into now. Amen? I got to hurry. Number 2. Whew, that was number 1. I feel like I done a workout. Number two, second need of the wife, affection. Affection. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Now, I speak to a broad audience. We've got everybody from infants to on up in here today. Television audience, live audience, so we got to keep this rated G for God. Now, so I got to talk in code. And if you're in the spirit, you'll catch it. You'll catch it even if you're in the flesh. Maybe more so. Affection is different for a man than it is a woman. All right? So you can't see them the same. They're not the same. Now, in a man's mind, affection's always this. But in a woman's mind, affection's not always that. Do you understand the this's and the that's? So men, we have to be able to provide affection without the that being in mind. It doesn't mind. It's okay that it's in mind, but it don't have to be right then. Because if you'll provide affection consistently and constantly to her in the way she defines affection, it'll be easy when it comes time for her to give you affection. It'll work smoother, see, because you've been working on that thing all day long. Amen. So, with that being said, Ephesians 5, affection. Affection comes in the form of words. It comes in the form of physical touch, holding hands, hugs, embracing. It's medically been shown that when you give someone a hug, it releases endorphins that make you feel better. So affection is a warm embrace, holding hands, whispering sweet nothings in your ear. Affection, all right? Now watch this, Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. That word nourish means to generate warmth through closeness. To generate warmth through closeness. Affection. Affection. My wife loves for me to rub her arm. I mean, we'll be in bed, you know, late at night, and right before she'll sleep, she wants me to rub her arm. And it's something about rubbing her arm puts her to sleep. I have to be careful when I rub her arm. Because I'll go to rubbing her arm now. Hey, wait, I'll rub it in 20 minutes. You know, I ain't rubbing her arm. You just try to do something slick right here. You know, so. Because when I rub her arm, she's out. She just made her head over and she gone. And she told me years ago that when I rubbed her arm, it tells her mind and her body to relax. And I was like, what you say? They give me both arms, girl. You can do your feet too. If that tells your body to relax, I got relaxation for you right here. So for Chrissy, it's rubbing her arm. That's affection to her. I don't like my arm being rubbed. She'll try to rub my arm, and it feels like I got arthritis. I'm like, no, I got too many knots all in here. It feels like it generates pain. I don't want no rubbing. You ain't got to rub my arm. It's, yeah. So I rub her arm, puts her right to sleep. But for her, that's affection. That's affection for her. Holding hands, driving down the road. You know, they build all these cars now with all this big, massive console in the middle. You can't do like you did back in the day when you had that big bench seat. I saw an old couple the other day going down the road. They had to be in their 70s, and it was one of them old Chevys, one of them old trucks. Had the bench seat. I could have swore she was in the driver's seat, and he was to her left. They were all up on top of each other driving down the road. It looked like two heads behind the steering wheel. I said, what? That's how you're supposed to roll. Can't do that anymore. You got all these big consoles. Got to reach way over there to hold hands. Affection. Affection. Second need of the wife. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 says that we should rejoice with the wife of our youth. That means be literally intoxicated and infatuated with her. Affection. Number three. Communication. Communication. If you're taking notes, write this down. Love is a language. Say that out loud. Love is a language. And when you, the reason I say that is because we have to speak the same language. There are five languages to love. Number one, words of affirmation. Building her up with your words. Encouraging her with her words. If she comes home from then, I've learned, you know, sometimes you got to be careful with this right here, especially when a woman gets her hair done. You know, because you can get in trouble real quick if you say, did you get your hair done? When you know the obvious, that could be a problem. Did you get your hair done? What you mean, did I get my hair done? You knew I was going to the salon, it don't look good. No, baby, I didn't mean that. Well, you asked, did I get my hair done? Ain't it obvious I got my hair done? It's a different color, ain't it? So you have to learn to build her up. Baby, that looks good on you. Is that dress new? Oh, girl, you know, build up words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Don't you let some stranger on the sidewalk give your wife more compliments than you do. Amen. Amen. Words of affirmation. You make sure that she gets everything she needs from you. The world's got too much water for either one of us to go leave home thirsty. That was spiritual, and y'all wasn't even paying attention. Number two, second love language, quality time. Quality time, doing things together. Every married couple should date. My wife and I, we make it a point to date once a week. We shoot for once a week. And so make it a point that you're dating, quality time. Matter of fact, you can't even get the words of affirmation out and the other things out if you're not spending any time together, all right? You say, well, we have kids. Look, we got four, and they're teenagers that need money. Hire a babysitter. Boom. Number three, gifts. I know that may not be the same for all. Chrissy's not really into gifts, so that saves me some money for the quality time. I can spend more on what we're going to eat because she wants less gifts. Number four, acts of service, washing her car, vacuuming those McDonald's French fries that your kids put in the floorboard. Acts of service. Helping with the dishes, loading the dishwasher, acts of service, wiping the table off, picking up after yourself, acts of service, okay? And another act of service, you know, that would also lead to the fifth one, which the fifth being physical touch. Another act of service is giving your spouse a massage. Why are y'all so quiet? Listen, you can, I'm not advocating or endorsing Amazon, but you can get on Amazon.com, buy you a massage table for less than $150. It'll be the best thing you ever did to your marriage. You say, how you know? Hey. Man, you get you a massage table and the right music and some of that scented massage oil. Jesus. Things will work for you. Hallelujah. So, acts of service, physical. You know we all tense all the time. That stuff needs to be rubbed out anyway. Why not let that be done at home? Amen. Y'all are acting like y'all are just something. I can't believe we're talking about this at church. That's the problem now. We've not been talking about this at church, and we let Hollywood tell us how this thing's supposed to go down. Amen. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:22. According to 1 Corinthians 13 and 14, love is a language that when you don't speak the right love language to your spouse, then you're speaking a foreign language. You become a tinkling cymbal. And so, and men, we do some dumb stuff. And I'll give you one example. Your wife's complaining because you don't spend enough quality time, so what do? You send flowers. And your flowers, the card says, I'm sorry, we don't spend much time together anymore. She's going to throw the card away and be mad at the flowers. Because you've said, basically, I'm not going to give you the language you speak. I'm going to keep speaking mine. Here's the flowers to cover up what I haven't been doing with my time. When you could send the flowers and on the note put, I know we've not been spending much time together, and baby, starting tonight, we're going to change that. Be ready at 5, got the babysitter lined out. Yes, wear my favorite dress. Boom. See, now the flowers are sending, the gift is now saying, I'm going to spend more time with you. And maybe you're out to dinner and you go ahead and give the gift and say, okay, this gift is a token of the change I'm getting ready to make. And now every time she sees that gift, it's a reminder of a commitment that you've made toward the language that she understands. Listen, there are ways that we can communicate our love to one another, and it will bring joy to our relationship and to our home. If you study Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is listed in this order: love, joy, peace. Say that out loud. Love, joy, peace. And I believe it's because the one yields the other. And love is the first fruit of the Spirit. Romans 11:16 says, if the first fruit be holy, the lump is holy. That means if you get the first one right, all the others will come. Let's just deal with the first three of the nine. Love, joy, peace. When love is communicated, it produces joy. Let me prove what I'm talking about. And I know I'm running over here, but that's okay. All right. When you first thought that you loved her, can we go back there? All right. And you knew in your heart, man, I think, and we would call that being in love. Has it been that long ago? Can anybody remember? Okay. Now we said in love, and that's not the best term, but you just follow me. And so you're willing to step out and tell her that, you know what, I think I'm in love with you. Are we getting ready to throw the L word out there? All right. But we don't know whether or not she's there. Because if you're a man and you've ever told a woman when you were dating, hey, I think I love you, and then she came back and said, well, you know what? I really appreciate our friendship. See, you knew right then it's over, because she didn't want to be anything other than friends, and so that's just not working in your favor. And you had no joy, so you go tell your, you go tell your friend, say, man, look, I told her today I loved her. How'd it go? Well, she said she really appreciated our friendship, man. Ain't that good? He's like, brother, let me break it down to you. It's over. You might well go back to Sue Ella, because that right there ain't going to work. But if she says, oh, you know what? I feel the same way. Then what do you have? Joy. Because love that is received, love that is communicated and received brings about joy. And joy leads to peace. And the reason there's not much joy in so many marriages is because love is not being communicated. The only thing we're communicating is how bad the day was, and why aren't the dishes washed, and did you pay that bill, and yes, so-and-so's been saying such and such about me on Facebook. Can you believe that? And we're not exchanging our love, and is it any wonder we don't have any joy when we're not making that investment? We have got to learn how to communicate love if we want to have joy in our marriage. And there is no reason that you had more joy dating your wife than you do being married to your wife. Many folk date to marry. You should marry to date. And we've got to get this love thing back in operation, and we'll never do it if we don't learn how to communicate. Communicate the language she speaks. And wives, communicate, speak the language that he understands as well. Hallelujah. We must learn to speak one another's love language. We can't try to overcompensate with the one and not do the other. And then she says one day, he spends no time with me. And then you holler to me, I wash your car every week. Washing her car don't have nothing to do with quality time. Speak one another's love language. Last but not least, number four. The fourth need of the wife is leadership. We'll read this in verse 23, and we're about to close. Watch verse 23 of Ephesians 5. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Men, we must learn to be decisive and be leaders. And I know sometimes there's some anxiety because we'd rather not make a decision at all than to be eat up over it. Because the Bible says a man is better off in the corner of a high roof on the house than he is down inside the house with a contentious woman. So sometimes men just say, you know what, whatever you say. We just stay out of any decision making because we don't want to get a head bit off. So ladies, you've got to give your husbands a chance to be decisive and to lead. And when they do step out and start leading, you can't be overcritical of their leadership. So, you know, you've been praying he would get in church. One day he gets up and he says, baby, you know what? I think we're going to go to church today. Well, you can't come back and say, Hank, it's about time. I've been praying for 3 months that you would get in church. No, that's not going to help. He don't have to know you've been praying for 3 months. You just say, you know what? Amen. That's great. I'll go get ready right now. Let your husband lead. If he's leading in prayer, don't be criticizing him when he gets through praying. Ah, oh, Hank, you can't pray. Where's the name of Jesus? You didn't put the name of Jesus in there. He's supposed to pray in the name of Jesus. I thought I told you that already. Let him lead. Let him make a decision. And men, we have to have the willingness, the wherewithal to say, you know what, I'm going to lead in this. I'm going to make a decision. Women, our wives, appreciate the leadership quality of their husbands. So step out and lead. Amen. So those are the four needs of the wife. I'm going to communicate them one more time. We're going to close. Security, number one. Number two, affection. Number three, communication. And number four, leadership. Let me pray for you this morning. If you're here and you're married, if you would, just grab your hands with your spouse. Husbands, just ease over and grab your wife's hand right quick. If you're not married, leave your neighbor's hand alone. This ain't... Let me pray for you this morning. Every married couple, just join hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up every married couple here right now, every husband, every wife. God, I pray right now for healing, for those relationships that may be hurting. I pray for wholeness today, God. I thank you that what you have joined together, no man shall put asunder in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you today that your spirit, it makes these marriages one. I thank you for that today, God, that they're at harmony and that they're at peace. Lord, I pray for every husband today, God, that you would make us sensitive to our wives' needs, that you'd give us the wisdom to be sensitive to their needs and to make a decision today that we're going to seek to meet those needs, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray against any weapon that may have been formed against our marriages today, and I declare it shall not prosper in Jesus' name. God, I thank you today that your spirit makes us one in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for our wives here today that, Lord, you'd give them grace, that you'd give them wisdom, understanding, and sensitivity when it comes to their husbands. And God, I pray above all that you would take that place of lordship, that you would be the common denominator in our homes, that we would agree with you, that we would agree with your word and find ourselves agreeing with each other. God, I lift up any marriage today that may be separated. I lift up any husband or wife that's here today who their marriage is broken. And God, I just pray right now for supernatural restoration. I pray for renewed minds. I pray for rejuvenated spirit. God, I pray for restoration today. That what you've joined together, no man will put asunder. God, I pray that we see strength in our marriages and our homes like we've never seen before. And that God, instead of judging one another, we would judge ourselves. And that, Lord, we would see a level in our marriage and a level of intimacy that we've never seen or never known before. In the name of Jesus.
If you were to ask me what is the number one problem that's facing marriages today, I would say it is offense. And offense is rooted in unmet expectations. The greater the relationship we have with someone, the higher our expectations are in that person. And it can't be truer when it comes to marriage. You know, God desires to meet our needs through relationships, through people, but that doesn't make individuals the source of our needs. In this series, we're going to talk about the responsibilities of the husband, the wife. We will take the Word of God and define the kingdom husband and the kingdom wife in this series, Kingdom Marriage. I want to encourage you to obtain your copy of this series and bring the kingdom of God into your home and marriage.
You think just because you've been married 15 years, he's no longer stimulated by sight? You think just because you've been married a few years that the honeymoon is over? Honey, let the honeymoon just begin. You've got to change your mindset about that. We can't let that fire grow out. You can't even let it dim a little bit. Keep that thing kindled. I know what some of you are saying. You're saying, Pastor, I'm not 22 anymore. That's why they make dimmers. When certain things don't work, you just dim the lights, and you imagine the way it used to be. Because you know, some folk, you know, they turn the lights on, and they be like, hey, get that light back on. Turn that light off. Recognize that your husband has a need for recreational companionship. That's fellowship. That's friendship. That's time with you when you're not mama, especially his. Help me, man. Because we know as husbands that you got to be mom. And so you're all about the welfare, the protection, the safety of your children. And so that's why there has to be some times where you get off just the two of you, and you have a babysitter or someone to care, and you go out and you just have fun, and so that he can be with his wife without being with mom or a mother figure, and have fun. Just do something that is fun. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Recreational companionship is the need, or a need, of your husband. It's like there's always somebody waiting on the other to do the right thing. Somebody's got to be mature enough and strong enough and honor God enough to say, I'm going to be the one to do the right thing. And let the Holy Spirit convert the other one to the right way of doing things. But if you go away on your spouse to get it together before you get it together, neither one of you will ever get it together, because you'll be playing the waiting game, saying you first, no, you first, no, you first. And then now you allow the actions of your spouse to become the excuse on why you're not doing what God called you to do. That's why marriage can't work without Jesus. That's why it can't work without God, because we need somebody that has authority in this equation that is bigger than the both of us.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.